Day 25. Years ago, and I mean years, think like 14-ish, I would patronize a local yogurt and such around the corner from my office. The woman who ran it was from Pakistan, and when I was ordering my boring vanilla frozen yogurt with granola and fruit one day, she offered to throw in her special iced coffee. She told me that the first one was on the house, and if I liked it, I could order it again and pay for it. Holy shit, that coffee was delicious. Not only did I order it again, but I didn't go there again without ordering her phenomenal iced coffee. One day I worked up the courage to ask her what the magical ingredients were in this amazing drink, what spices she threw in. I promised up and down I'd always buy it from there, from her, but begged to know. It's funny because I've always been this way. I'll throw a disclaimer out there as to the food items that are non-negotiable for me, like stinky cheese and liver, and sorry, don't mean to yuck your yum. But outside of that, I tell people to let me try something and tell me what it is after. I guess I just don't want to generate some preconceived notion about something that colors my ability to formulate a real, true opinion. I kind of just want to have an unbiased reaction. So yeah, I taste first and ask later. Clearly, this exercise is a lot safer when it comes to iced coffee. It gets a bit dicey when it's like a meat dish or something like that. Anyway, as an aside, if you've never tried this exercise, I highly recommend it. You would not believe what you decide you don't like before you've even really given it a fair chance. Anyway, let's get back to the discussion at hand. I asked this lovely woman what was in her fan-fucking-tastic iced coffee, and she smiled sweetly and said, "Instant coffee, ice, sugar, and cream." Not possible. How is this possible? How could this treat that tasted like a milkshake contain just those four silly ingredients? No magical spices? No amazing special thing to this concoction? How could I really like instant coffee when I had waged a silent internal war against it for years? Incredulity aside, I went back for the iced coffee until she sadly had to close up shop. I never did make her fancy iced coffee at home, but I had great memories of it. Can you guess where I'm going yet? Well, maybe not. The other day, a friend asked me if I had tried the new influencer sensation whipped coffee. I didn't hesitate before responding in the negative, mostly because I just plain old hadn't seen anything about it, but then also because I'm not really inclined to try influencer beverages. There's nothing wrong with them. I'm not above it. They just usually aren't my jam. I'm not one for pink drinks or purple drinks or sparkly drinks. It's funny, really, because I like pink and purple and sparkly everything else. I'm just not into it when it comes to my beverages. Beverage holders? Absolutely. The stuff that I imbibe? Not so much. So for those primary reasons, I had probably quick scroll through or buy any mention of it, or not really seen it because it didn't capture my interest. My friend told me that it looked good, and she too is not a fancy super sugary drink person, so I decided to give it a gander. Well, imagine my surprise when every influencer on social media is pushing my friend's iced coffee drink. My old friend, from 14 years ago. I couldn't stop laughing, but then it also made me a little sad. I had these mixed feelings for so many reasons. Mostly, I can't wrap my brain around how this whole hashtag trending business works. What makes something popular? What makes something, forgive the expression right now, go viral? What is the thing that makes the idea or reality of a drink, dance, place to visit, or restaurant all of a sudden catch on? Before we go further, I obviously know that there are psychological studies that have been conducted on this very phenomenon. I mean, let's get real. This is the very paradigm that folks study who work in the world of advertising today, or more granularly, SEO. I'm not talking about the deep-rooted psychology behind all of this. I'm not talking about the tags that are used or promotional tricks and tools that are employed to grab the general public. I'm just shooting the shit with you and wondering how the fuck this all works. How did a bunch of gals who like $9 Starbucks drinks decided to like and hardcore promote a drink that is comprised of Taster's Choice milk and sugar? How did the alternative milk organic coffee crew latch onto the most basic coffee recipe ever concocted? How come yogurt and such in Uniondale didn't become an overnight sensation because of my friend's iced coffee? Why am I exploring the popularity of a new coffee drink with you all? Well, first of all, the recall of that tasty iced coffee inspired me to throw instant coffee onto my shopping list and dust off my milk frother. Yes, I was influenced. It happened. I didn't look up the recipe posted to any social media gal's page because, well, I know it well. I'm tempted to look because I kind of want to see how they romanticize the recipe. Do they talk about its outstanding simplicity? Are they substituting cow's milk and white sugar with oat milk and natural sugar, or perhaps Splenda? Are they skipping the sweet component altogether, which, by the way, is a big mistake? How are they taking the iced coffee that I drank solidly for 2 years and turning it into something that everyone in America wants to drink right now in the thick of a pandemic? Is it because of its simplicity that it's catching on now? You too can make a jazzy coffee drink with food you already have in your pantry. Ta-da! But I'm distracting you from a statement I made. I was influenced. I was conned back into revisiting one of my old favorite coffee beverages. I feel pretty confident that without the mention of this, I might not have ever thought to make it again. Really. And I loved it. But it was a thing, and then the store closed, and then it was gone. It was shockingly that simple. The same way that this whip coffee trend will also disappear, much like unicorn fraps. They come, they invade our homes, they tax our bank accounts, and they leave, just like they were never there to begin with. Wow. The only evidence that remains are all the pictures we took and jammed into social media. Cool, I'm talking about the power of social media influence. This is hardly a revolutionary concept. We all know this exists. It is literally the reason the term influencer was coined. They chose something, and we lap it up like lemmings. I'm not judging or pretending like I'm above this, as the whipped coffee, or my version of it, is not the first time I've been influenced, often willingly and knowingly, so what? Well, in this time of insanity, when it's easier to be influenced because we're home sitting in front of social media and televisions, I think it behooves us to be a little bit more conscious of it. I'm not suggesting that you resist the influence. I mean, you can, sure. I'm suggesting that maybe we use this time to recall things and reintroduce things that we let go of too easily. No, I do not mean call your ex. Do not call your ex. I'm also not talking about iced coffee. I'm saying that we can go back to things that brought us joy without a prodding in that direction. Or hell, we can even hold on to them to begin with. We can recreate special recipes at home if the source becomes unavailable to us. We can cultivate relationships and friendships even when it becomes a little bit more challenging. We can still sketch and write and play a sport we once and would still enjoy. Life will absolutely present challenges to holding on. It won't be easy. So why do things need to be easy for us or as easy as they once were? Why can't we be okay with modifying something to fit the now? What does that mean? Well, I make the iced coffee at home on the weekends because during the week just kind of doesn't work for me. You join a basketball league that meets in the evenings once a week. It's not super competitive and sometimes it's canceled, but it gives you the taste, just that little taste that you're craving. You don't have the same exact talent or inspiration as you once did, but when you find yourself drawing, it still provides you with that same cathartic release and you're not as concerned with the outcome. I am fascinated by how easily influenced we are by influencers. I am more amazed by the fact that we let life pass us by without holding on to those things that truly bring us joy. I am blown away by the fact that we seemingly need reminders of these things to bring them back to us, and that we're unwilling to be flexible and incorporate them into our lives in a way that might be different than they once were. This is a time to recall those little pleasures in life. You don't need a hashtag. Just use your mind and your spirit. You'd be amazed at what's still lingering in there. Enjoy the adventure. I'll talk to you tomorrow.